Hello everyone and welcome to the inaugural episode of Lizzie Spear, Breaking the Lines English-speaking podcast. I'm your host, Louis. I'm joined by the two co-founders of Breaking the Lines, Zach and Thomas.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Hey guys, what's up?
Thomas Anderson, I'm Zach Louis, and Louis Jacques here to bring you the first ever English podcast in Breaking the Lines. Good to be here today.
Exciting times.
Good to have both of you with.
So
yeah, you go ahead.
Yeah, let's start. So I think we learned two things from this week. One, Americans are on the rise in football in all capacities, I would say. And two, football is the greatest damn thing created on God's green earth. I think Louis feels differently. I haven't gotten over it. I don't think Louis has. Let's just talk about what went wrong. I was hoping to have Steve Mike because he was a Sevilla fan. He knows Unai Emery, but let's talk about it because I know Unai Emery from our games against Sevilla over the past few seasons. Louis, what went wrong for you in this game?
So, I mean, obviously we could complain about the refereeing, which lots of people did, but I think that's a silly thought because when you're blaming the ref, it means you're really looking for excuses. I mean, especially with a loss this big, it's embarrassing. So what really went wrong? I mean, first of all, there's a general lack of leadership. Most people have sort of pointed out that Thiago Silva isn't exactly a natural leader. And the main problem is that although, you know, he may have some leadership qualities, which he brought from him at AC Milan, and, you know, although he may be quite a good defender, he really doesn't know how to bring a team together. It really feels like, you know, lots of individuals fighting around. So there's a general lack of leadership. And, like, Thiago Silva was one of the worst players on the pitch. I think I'm not the only person.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
I've got a question.
I mean, to be a great leader, I think Silva is a great leader, but to be an amazing leader, you got to step up in the big occasions.
Yeah.
And to me, Zlatan does that, Mota does that. I don't think Silva does that.
He doesn't.
So he doesn't. And I think the other two is.
I've got a question to Louis, since you're a big PSG fan.
Do you
think your defense is now worse without David Luiz?
It depends. Marquinhos and Silva both used to, you know, like stay a few steps behind David Luiz, you know, sort of pick up after his errors. They knew that there'd be something. They knew that he would maybe lose a ball, and they would always be on the ready to pick up after that ball. So the problem here is that they've really sort of, you know, they haven't gotten used to him leaving. And so they've, you know, they're both staying behind, and neither of them knows whether to act or not. So
yeah.
I don't think it's down to the lack of David Luiz, but also the lack of depth and the fact that we only have three centre backs sort of makes it, you know, a really precarious situation.
I think in hindsight, you got to start Kimpembe.
Go ahead, Zach. Go ahead.
I mean, look, I know it's ridiculous thing. I mean, this kid is what, like 19? You know, he just had his debut. But I think, like, when I think Silva, I always see him capitulating in these big games. When I think Marquinhos, I think of a player who hasn't lived up to his potential, partly because he hasn't been in the starting 11 enough, but he just hasn't, like, fulfilled that. When I think Kimpembe, I think of a world-class prospect who comes alive and begins, who's hungry to prove his worth. So, in hindsight, you got to start Kimpembe over Marquinhos or even over Silva. I mean, he was superb in the league.
Yeah, especially with, like, something that characterizes both of them is, like, you know, when Sergio Roberto scored his goal, you look at Silva's face, and he's disappointed. But yeah. You look at Kimpembe's face, he's disgusted. He knew that so much could have been done better. Yeah. He knows that there should have been so much more composure on the pitch.
And I've always criticized French central defenders for being too soft, too, like, just lackadaisical. I don't see that with Kimpembe. I think he's, like, he's something that we don't really see from French center backs unless they're trained by, I don't know, Simeone. Some real strength and just aggression, and someone who's like, who's not going to let you come your way without, you know, getting a.
I'm not sure I agree with that, actually. I think France have got a lot of strong centre backs.
I agree. I think that, like, Laporte, Varane, they're too.
Yeah, they've definitely got their flair, like, sort of centre backs. You know, their ball playing centre backs, like Laporte, Varane, Koscielny, even. But then they've got their brawn as well, you know. You've got. Sacco is there, obviously. You've got Zuma there. Mangala, when he was decent, was there. They've got.
Well, the difference with those three, though, is Kimpembe can really pass. You know, he's a complete. He's
a world class prospect. That's probably the difference between those guys and Kimpembe.
Yeah, the other 100%.
But then again, so Hilda's world class prospects at a certain point.
Mm.
So, well, you know. But
we'll talk about Kimpembe.
Probably seem naturally more talented, definitely.
Yeah, if we're gonna talk about Kimpembe, we might as well talk about Umtiti as well.
Kimpembe's a few years younger.
This kid, I have no idea why it took like 5 injuries for Deschamps to call him up. But he was the goal. I mean,
Deschamps is a really bad manager when it comes to picking his squad.
He's a weird manager.
He chose Sissoko for the past 3 call-ups.
It's all about politics when it comes to this guy.
No, I mean, Louis, I obviously don't follow Ligue 1 as much as you do, but I recall Umtiti being one of the best center backs in the league for the past 3 seasons at Lyon, and
he was very good.
I was shocked to see like all these players get called up over him. And I think that there's no doubt that he's been Barcelona's best signing. I really think you could argue that he's been one of the best signings in Europe. It's the fact that we got him for 25 million,
yeah,
I believe.
It's a steal. It's a steal in today's money league, 100%.
I mean, he's got his flaws, even though we really have an amazing, nearly flawless record with him. And he stepped up. He stepped up against PSG. He's a... got it all. I think he's a world class prospect, and he's getting to that world class level as a player as well. But anyways, let's talk about what could have gone better for PSG. Was Mota was injured, I believe, right?
Yeah, he was injured, and Guedes was cut bound. He couldn't play.
I think
PSG were just way too negative, to be honest.
Yeah,
way too negative. Like, if you look at the average positions between both teams, I saw this on Twitter the other just a few hours ago, actually. Barcelona's lowest player, which was PK, is on the halfway line. That's his average position.
Yeah,
on the halfway line.
Really,
whereas
I saw. So Stegen was in a higher position than Thiago Silva.
Yeah. So Stegen was literally, essentially, he was a sweeper. He was a sweeper keeper. And he did it really well. But there wasn't much to sweep because PSG was struggling to get the ball forward.
Yeah, and he came clutch for the 5th goal. I mean,
yeah, Christ, we got mocked on that. I was.
It's crazy.
That was ridiculous.
Did you see the stat that Ter Stegen made more passes than the PSG team, anyone in the PSG team?
Yeah.
Well,
Kamp was the highest passer on that side as well.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I thought, and Ter Stegen kind of bossed Verratti that final.
It was one dribble, but like still, I do agree the Verratti should have done way better, especially against a keeper.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly thought Verratti wasn't that bad. He was maybe your best player, even though that's not really.
Cavani was the best player.
Oh, Cavani, yeah.
With Cavani, 100%. Cavani was.
His work rate was everywhere.
If you could create more for Cavani, it would have been game over.
Yeah.
It would have been game over. So
I think that they also, even though he's pretty much lost his legs, I would have started Maxwell because I feel like PSG had to retain possession better. And Kurzawa, I mean, he had an amazing start to the season. He was scoring goals for fun as a left back.
Yeah.
And now I just don't know what to make of him, really.
The problem was he did pretty well in the first leg. And, like, everyone was saying, when he got picked for the first leg, everyone was saying he's going to make rookie mistakes. And that's why we should have picked Maxwell. But he didn't. He did the opposite. You know, he was really composed and he made good decisions, which is why I think he was picked at the Camp Nou. But then again, he did everything wrong at the Camp Nou, which is really, you know, a pain.
No, I don't think he gets into my starting 11 for Russia. He's just too, he relies on brute physical force too much.
We haven't pointed out he's been injured. He's technically been injured since, I think, December. He avoided getting knee surgeries so he could play against Barca.
I just think you need a pass. I don't think Emery did his homework, strangely enough, because...
No, he didn't.
Barca is more when you press them deep, when you just go at them and force them to build out of the high press rather than opportunity after opportunity in a deep block.
Yeah, Emery has struggled against Barcelona since its Sevilla days. Like, if you just look at Sevilla's record against Barcelona, under Emery, it's not really great.
I mean, look, Sevilla are and have been an amazing side for quite some time, but I honestly can't remember the last time they beat Barcelona.
It's been a long time.
He got it wrong. I mean, look, I didn't think there was a worse feeling in the world when Barcelona lost 4-0. I think there is now. I mean, blowing a 4-0 lead, and I mean, of course, everybody said, "Oh well, if PSG score one at the Camp Nou, it's over." It really isn't. It really. Football is a crazy game.
It should have been. But, you know, football is just something else, as we saw.
Yeah, I mean, going back to the game quickly, something I needed to point out was lots of people are talking about, you know, tactics and some things that PSG could have done better. But, the underlying thing behind all of that is really the mental. I mean, it is a mental game. And Emery conditioned his players to believe in the fact that Barcelona would come back. And they were scared of it. Whereas, you know, on the opposite, they should have been, you know, ready to attack back. They should have been ready to go as in the first leg. From the off, they were playing 10 at the back.
And that is what has been the overlying problem with PSG since they became a super club due to, you know, Nasser Al-Khelaifi and the structure of the club. They have never been able to get past. They always have a good opportunity. In 2013, they came up against a Barcelona team with, you know, Messi on one leg, could have easily disposed them. They couldn't, I mean, which is understandable. But then next year, they come up against Chelsea. They blew it then.
Yeah.
2015, there wasn't much they could have done about that. But in 2016, they came up against a very poor Manchester City side, and Blanc just, I don't know, he just tried to be like...
That's why he got sacked. He wasn't delivering in Europe. They've invested so it just didn't happen. And this is why Emery came in.
But Blanc played.
And he hasn't done anything. Like, I actually think there is no reason for him to be there because he was brought in because he was a European expert, but
exactly.
Wasn't good enough.
I mean, it's harsh to say that he hasn't done anything. I mean, I still stick to the fact that it's maybe the wrong appointment, but, you know, it's a better appointment than keeping Blanc.
I mean, but compared to the other past few seasons with Blanc, where PSG were going to win the league on a canter besides 2014-15, this looks like, you know, Monaco can actually finally win. And, I mean, let's not forget, Monaco have been, like, a club in actual relevance, like, since what, like, 2013, they got promoted in 2012, 2013, I believe.
They were quite relevant before in the 90s.
Yeah, right.
When
right.
Wenger.
I'm saying like Rise back.
But, yeah, it's just since recently, yeah.
Yeah, Russian money.
Yaya too.
Yeah.
Like really rose up to, I mean, the real European scene in 2014.
Yeah,
but I mean, just not that really old either in terms of becoming a super club. But I just think that, well, so what would you have done instead? I mean, I think that you've got to play Maxwell over Kurzawa. Mm.
I actually don't think it's much of a personnel problem. It's just the way Emery set out his team.
There are two or three personnel things you can make, but yeah, the whole mentality thing is
that team is shouldn't be getting beat 6-1. You know, like let's be honest, guys.
When you got the three best players in the world, anything's possible. I mean,
that's true.
But PSG beat the great players themselves
in the world.
I don't think Barca are necessarily really best team in the world right now, but I mean, what I saw was what did you make of Messi's performance, by the way? Because
I'll give it 6 out of 10, probably.
For his standards, that's probably fair, because I think that he was quiet, but he was also he took away so many defenders and midfielders from them to free up space. So, I mean, this was very interesting. And by the way, you've got to applaud Luis Enrique, because I remember back 2 seasons ago, we came to Paris, Parc des Princes, Paris Saint-Germain, only team who hadn't lost in Europe yet. They were, you know, if we didn't win, they would go first. And Enrique lined up with a 3-4-3, I believe. And you had like fringe players like Bartra turning out the performance of his life. And he got it right. And we got first because of that. So he gets it right again. He gambled. And by the way, in previous performances, yes, we went with the 3-4-3. But this one, it was kind of the Cruyff 3-4-3, not the wingback 3-4-3 like Conte uses. Messi. Yeah. Diamond role, which was kind of a midfielder role in essence, and you know, he got his tactics right. I mean, it worked. I mean, maybe
Luis Enrique is a very good manager. Honestly, he's actually a very good manager. Obviously, the problem with him and Barcelona is that he doesn't necessarily manage the Barcelona way.
Yes,
but. Exactly. Honestly, after his little hiatus after this year, I think he'll come back really strong, and I could see him doing well at a club that is more aligned to maybe counter-attacking football.
Yeah.
Who? Who does he go to after this? Does he take a hiatus? I think he takes a hiatus for like a year.
He's taking a break. He's taking a break for like a year or two, maybe. So I don't know. You never know what opens up.
Yeah, I mean, Guardiola took a year-long break after Barca, and he's Mr. Football, you know. So I think Enrique can at least take 1 year off. And then I don't know where he comes to. Maybe Arsenal waits a year with Wenger, and then they fire him, and then they bring in Enrique, maybe.
Even though Barca, that would be tough.
It's a possibility. It's a possibility. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not sure if Arsenal fans would happy with that, to be honest.
What?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm not sure either. But it's a possibility. And I mean, who knows? If Spain have a terrible performance at the World Cup, maybe Lopetegui gets sacked. Maybe Enrique comes in.
That's actually not a bad shot.
Yeah. So I think that look, three weeks ago, literally like less than like 30 days. I'll go. PSG had defeated Barcelona. It seemed like the league was over. Aleix Vidal had just gotten injured for the entire season. It seemed like all hope had been lost. Now Barcelona have a system that works.
Now the treble is on.
The treble charge could very well be on. You know, even if they don't win, even if they get like at least, I don't know, 2 out of 3, That's a very, very good return for three seasons. I mean, get the treble, a double, and a double, combined with, you know, Super Cups and others. That's a good return. So I think a lot of
seven major trophies, two seasons. I'm sorry, three seasons. Yeah, that's incredible. That's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, you got to respect that. You got to respect that if you're a top club, because, I mean, this Barca team, it is still in a transitional phase, I believe. But I think they've finally found their niche. I really do.
So, for Barcelona, since you're a Barcelona fan, where do you see it going forward after Enrique? Like, who do you see you guys signing as a manager? Who do you see coming in as players? Like, who's going?
I mean, it's so difficult. I can see it's at the moment. It seems like Ernesto Valverde will come in. By the way, I think Luis Enrique is a better manager than Ernesto Valverde. I'm just gonna say it right here. Maybe Eusebio, but then again, I think Enrique is a better manager than Eusebio Sacristán as well. So, yeah. I mean, since Enrique is leaving, Barcelona have to upgrade. They have to get someone like Sampaoli, or sorry, but those managers are both very not conservative in that they'll try to sell, like, I don't know, seven players minimum.
They've got very crazy ideas.
Insane ideas. When Sampaoli came to Sevilla, he pretty much scrapped like half the squad at least.
They made a lot of signings.
They made a ton. They've got pretty much an entirely new lineup in most aspects. I mean, they've got, you know, Longlet and Nasri and Jovetic. I mean, he's a tremendous manager. He would be my pick, but we just got to see. I think the only way I can see Barcelona getting Sampaoli is if Messi comes and just demands it and really just, you know, puts the edge, maybe even Brand's renewal. Just like, bring me Sampaoli, or I'm not going to put a definitive answer on my future. But I just think that for me, the two best players in the world, Messi and Neymar, work together with Sampaoli. I mean, it's already an amazing duo. I would be very interested to see what happens. I could see Messi playing the Nasri role, basically like a midfielder, and us bringing in a new wing back or a new winger or
that
whatever.
That would prolong his career a lot if he started next season to play in that deeper role. You could easily play for like 10 years in that role, you know?
Yeah, and you have to. Would it take away his goal and assists? Or, I mean, because I still think he could get a great return from midfield.
100%, man. He's Lionel Messi. Greatest of our time, you know? He would obviously, he would not score anywhere near as much. But he could grab 20, 30 a season from midfield easily.
Exactly. I mean, and that's decent enough. If you bring in a goal scoring winger to replace that role and put him in the midfield, kind of balance that out. I mean, I still think he's a much better attacker than he is in midfield. No, he can do it. He's messy. So, are there any more comments you have to make about PSG Barcelona?
I wanted to quickly ask what you got, like, test the waters when it comes to Emery and the whole Qataris, because there's been loads of talk about, you know, in France about whether Emery's going to stay, whether the Qataris are going to stay. The answer on the Qataris so far is like they're going to stay, because, you know, considering the World Cup in Qatar is in not that long, giving up on PSG would show weakness, which is what they don't want to do.
Will
Emery stay?
Khalafi leaves?
No, there was lots of people asking if he was going to, and then the answer so far has been no because of the World Cup coming up.
Yeah.
And but what about Emery?
He has to do with the World Cup, but
no, but the Qataris are hosting it, you know, it's the same organization. They really want to show strength.
Yeah, that is true.
I personally, if I was would you as a PSG fan, would you give Emery another chance in Europe?
Yes. Personally, I would, because, you know, first of all, it shows weakness, sacking him, you know, as a manager gone after 6 months at a big club. And secondly, he's not tested the waters enough. I mean, come on, it's his first ever season playing this sort of football. French football is in itself, you know, very different. And, you know, it's his first season playing Champions League with a really good squad.
I guess personally, though, if I was a PSG fan, well, there's not many great managers available at the moment that would probably come to PSG, so I guess I would probably give him another year. But if there were managers available, I would be looking at possibly replacing him, in my opinion.
Honestly, if I would not be unhappy if we replaced him with someone like Sarri.
Yeah, okay.
That would be, especially on the mental side, that would be a godsend.
Well, you can't replace him mid-season. That's what they're asking.
No, he's not going anywhere right before summer. That's sure.
All right. So here's what I think. Look, PSG knew what they were doing when they sacked Laurent Blanc. They were sacking a manager who played great football, who had a dominance on French trophies, pretty much. I don't know if that was down to Blanc, but pretty much all down to Zlatan, but it was probably down to Ibra. But still,
I don't want to go into this too much, so you can finish your thing. But it's mainly like French clubs sort of like rolled over for us and didn't defend in the past few
seasons. Yeah, I agree. It's only recently where they found their balls, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
The likes of Monaco, the likes of Lyon.
No, but it's also about teams like Metz, because they, you know, in the previous seasons they said to themselves, look, if we press them for the 90 minutes, we're going to lose anyway, and our players are going to be tired for the next match. So they just rolled over. This season they know they can get a result.
Yeah.
Also, they kind of carried a larger than life factor in France. So, I mean, he brought that fear factor. I don't know if Cavani does the same. I mean, he's been
there for so long that, you know, it, like, Ibra felt like he didn't belong in France.
I think this kind of this could probably dispel with the myth that Ibra was holding PSG back.
I don't want to say he held us back, but him going is more of a liberation than a downfall.
You could not.
As we see with Cavani right now, the guy is on fire. It's not like they're missing Zlatan at all.
Well, I mean, I think if you had Zlatan, if PSG had Zlatan, they'd be top of the league. I'm just going to say that. I mean,
I agree with that, but that isn't necessarily meaning it's positive, because it also forces, you know, when PSG had Zlatan, we felt like a European club in the French league. You know, that comment he made a few years back saying that France doesn't deserve PSG? Mentality the whole club had, and ever since he's left, it's been the opposite. And the fact that, you know, we are second sort of shows that we've had to get used to being a French club playing in a French league and playing by the French rules against French teams. And I think that's a good progression. You have to make that. He was going to leave eventually, and you're going to have to make that progression. Process at some point.
Yeah, I think PSG are well off. They really are. Like, they're fine.
This season was a season of we weren't expecting anything big to happen this season anyway. I mean, when you get in five new players, five ones leave, including the biggest scorer of all time of your club, a new manager, you're not expecting you to win the Champions League. I mean, it's ridiculous.
But there's that same of coming so close and not being able to get across the hump for PSG. It seems like it's the same every year. But look, they knew what they were doing. They brought in a manager who had a sketchy league record, who really didn't do well away from home in Spain. He doesn't play better football than Blanc, but he's a proven European heavyweight. And look, I think that if PSG had Blanc, I still think that same result could have happened. I mean, this was a once-in-a-lifetime performance, really.
I mean, if PSG had blocked, they probably wouldn't have.
The 4-1, the 4-0, or the 6-1
in the first place. The 6-1. I mean, the 4-0 was great.
I think the 4-0. If we had Blanc, it would have maybe been like 2-0 or 1-0.
Yeah, probably. That's what I'm saying.
Blanc wouldn't have done the 4-0.
Also, it wouldn't have been the same with Ibra, because he wouldn't have pressed as much. He wouldn't have
Cavani's work rate compared to Ibra's is ridiculous.
It is, yeah. No, he's
Cavani has evolved the team's play 100%. Cavani at centre forward, anyway, has evolved the team's play a lot.
Evolved the team's play while devolving the team's trophies. I will say that.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's Cavani devolving the team's trophies. I think it was going to happen. This, even if we signed Lewandowski, we were going to have a transition season this year anyway.
I get it. I mean, it's just when you lose. I mean, okay, when you trade Zlatan for Cavani in the center forward role. By the way, Cavani's had a better season than Zlatan. You lose that same kind of extra midfielder slash forward hold up play. Only like really less than a handful of forwards have, but you also add that additional work rate, that additional systemic versatility.
Trade off.
Yeah, I mean, can you name a center forward with better movement, better off the ball work than Cavani? I don't think you can.
Barely any. Honestly, none, to be honest, on his day.
What?
Very
difficult. Honestly, Cavani's movement, both on and off the ball, is completely ridiculous.
Oh yeah, and I think even despite like his obvious misses, I mean, I saw him live this summer. He's been superb. He's been world class this season. So I don't think you can blame Cavani. I just think Zlatan leaving had a huge impact for the
league. I mean, Zlatan staying would have been better for us in the short term. But in the long term, him leaving has a more positive effect.
And now this player Gonçalo Guedes, who for me is very similar to Cavani in that he does have some embarrassing misses, but he's got superb off the ball work rate, and he's got the mold of a center forward. So you do have a new plan in place, I believe.
Yeah, I think we're waiting. I don't know when Emery's going to start playing Guedes in the pure center forward role, because so far he's only been a winger in like the three games he's played.
Yeah.
But like already in there, he's showed his work rate is really good.
And also Guedes, I mean, even though he was kind of shoehorned as a winger, he's not in Benfica. He's not really a winger. He's more of a pure center forward, so I'm not sure if, unless they play a 4-4-2, I don't know if.
No, but that's what I mean. I can't wait until we do play him in a centre forward role. But that's probably going to have to wait for a cup game or something.
Yeah. I would say so. Anyways, moving.
Do you guys think? Last one on PSG now.
Yeah.
Do you guys think PSG's midfield needs a bit of surgery?
Surgery, yeah. Out with Matuidi, please, as soon as possible.
Well,
we gotta go. Matuidi out.
Okay, no, but seriously about Matuidi, man, his work rate is good, but like, I can't have him chugging around midfield at 30, at 20 kilometers an hour in circles, not getting a single touch on the ball for the next 20 minutes. It hurts.
Matuidi really declined in Blanc's last season, and now, I mean, I don't think he even really deserves a French call.
I'd love to see him as like a player liaison manager. That'd be great. But not on pitch.
Maybe, but
who would be a good signing though?
He's not like old or anything. He's like 28 still, right?
He's 30.
There's a lot of talent. There's a lot of talented midfielders out there in France itself. There's loads of players that you can upgrade him with.
If we sell Matuidi, right? Then who do we have left? We have Motta, Verratti, and Rabiot. I mean, Motta's going to retire after that season, and that only leaves two players.
Caligari.
Yeah. PSG need. What about Krychowiak?
No, forget about him.
He's not good enough. He's never good enough. Caligari. He's Motta's age.
Nah, he's done for.
Really?
Oh, he doesn't fit the system, and he doesn't look like he's ever going to. And...
Well, he's young, though.
Sorry?
He's young.
Yeah, but... Sometimes it just doesn't click. And, he's played so many games that even he's accepted that it's not going to work.
That's...
I mean, it's but, a shame.
Okay. I just think that it's because I would have loved to see Flacco, Pastore in the midfield. You would have probably held on if you had Pastore.
Bro, Wednesday I was screaming at the TV, like, put on Pastore from a Tweety.
Yeah,
Pastore would have done such a better, so much better than Matuidi, 100%.
Yeah, would have kept a full head. I mean, why did he put on Aurier? Why did he put on Aurier? That was brain dead. So, go on, Kimpembe.
Honestly, yeah. since Aurier was, you know, fantastic before the suspension, after the suspension, he's basically kind of become the, I don't want to like exaggerate mentally here, but he's gone. Kind of Borean Danny Simpson. Like, I don't even know what he does right anymore. Like,
he doesn't anything. I would, even within the club's fans, we know that he's better, you know, he's better at making a fool of himself on Periscope than he is at playing football. And that's not like an exaggeration.
Yeah. See, PSG just get it. Grabbing him and bringing back Sabali this summer.
But the thing is, right, lots of people still rate him, which is good for us because that means we can sell him for a lot of money.
Sell him, like, to United for, like, 20 million.
Oh, yes. Enough.
That would be easy. But anyways, yeah, I would say that PSG probably need to figure out what they're doing with the wingers because that's always been a topic of concern. Lucas.
That's quite good now.
Alexis what? Needed.
I mean, yeah, if we get Alexis, then we have really good choice. I mean, between Di Maria, Lucas, Draxler, and Alexis, it would be really, you know, competitive
that's,
too.
That's one of the best in Europe, man. Wingers, anyway.
Maybe we need a fourth centre-back and some midfield surgery. That's like the main priority at the moment.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I don't see any, like, in the academy besides Kimpembe, who's now a first teamer. So.
Well, I mean, there are lots of good talents, but none of them, you know, Kimpembe level, and that's the problem.
You finally got to get a top-class goalkeeper. I don't know, maybe it'll have to be a project, but I don't see anything in Areola. Areola, yeah, and Trapp.
Trapp is okay, but he's like, I think for a club that wants to win the Champions League, he's better off as a backup. But then again, you guys at Barcelona, I mean, you have Ter Stegen.
Well, yeah, but Ter Stegen, with the starting spot, he has stepped it up.
Ter Stegen is excellent, man. I don't know why Barcelona haven't played him early. He's much better than Bravo. He always has been.
I would probably say I'm now definitely saying at this point, I would think that maybe besides Courtois, I can't name a better goalkeeper this season than Ter Stegen. He's just been outstanding while so many other
What sort of goalkeeper signing should PSG make then?
Well, you can go for a young prospect like
Donnarumma.
Yeah, but we have you know, players are getting old already. I mean, you have Cavani, who's in his late 20s, and, you know, quite a few others who are really aging. And if we're going to, you know, spend big on a prospect, we can't wait for a year when everyone coheres and then hope we win the Champions League. We need a squad that can compete for, like, 3 years in a row.
He's not really a prospect anymore, but I would say Anthony Lopez is the best goalkeeper in Ligue 1 on his day.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Yeah, and so I would maybe consider that if it's
possible. He's mediocre, like, outside of Ligue 1.
Yeah, I mean...
Donnarumma from AC Milan. That would be a statement.
I mean...
But I think that's too early. I think Courtois would be... I mean, it's possible. We have the money.
I think he's going to get a new contract soon, to be honest.
Better not.
Probably the best in the world. But besides that, I mean, I think you should stick with Emery. I think you should stick with Emery. That's just,
yeah, because like Emery had, you know, when you get five players out, five players in, you don't expect a manager to work magic immediately, especially in the new league.
All right, so for the last 15 minutes, I want to just talk about, well, we can talk about other games, but first, I want to start off with Christian Pulisic. Because I feel like whenever an American fans enter the football industry, they get, you know, they're pointed as like an outsider. Oh, no, they're not good enough. Look, Christian Pulisic, he can dribble better than Marcus Rashford. He can pass better than Dele Alli. And he can probably defend better than John Stones. So I don't know why.
Pulisic, no way.
Like, this kid, player, he took them through. I mean, this Benfica team, you know, they're missing a lot of players, but they're still a steel trap organized side. And so they needed a player. Also, I saw Guerrero got benched. Guerrero is a top-class player. He got benched for Pulisic, and Pulisic took them through. So I want to see more respect on America's name. I want to see more respect
Put some respect on our name. That's the meme. That's the meme.
That's the meme. Some changes, downturns politically and economically, but I want to see some respect now to in the football side. All right.
let's not exaggerate on him, but still.
No.
I guess American talents are like, you know, they are improving 100%.
I just think they're.
But there's still a long way to go.
Oh yeah, but
you need players of Pulisic standard. You need more players of his standard.
Yeah, exactly.
America's problem for me is they try to do things their own way. They've got to let into the American, the European and South American style in that, you know, you let kids play more on the streets. You let kids like, you know, maybe espouse their schoolwork for academy training also. Thing is, when you're an American footballer, you're gonna go through you know 18 years of schoolwork while also you know practicing. You're not really totally dedicated to practicing and developing your skills like Europeans are. South Americans.
Yeah, but there's also like a cultural aspect to it. Like I'm working on a big piece about how golden generations happened, right? And in South America and in Europe, pretty much all the players come from, you know, not slums, but, you know, the suburbs, the favelas. You have in the States, you have the equivalent of the suburbs, but you have the rich suburbs where, you know, you don't really play football in the street. And in the poor suburbs, you play basketball. And like, there's not that suburb culture of playing football with your mates in the street.
There ain't no street ballers in the USA, man.
Yeah, fam, well, like, I remember when I grew up in England, there was football. I mean, you go outside and there was already football in the street.
Yeah, 100%. Honestly, personally, obviously, I've been in England for a bit now. Since I've been like a young teenager, I guess. And every time I went outside, there was always kids playing on the street. Yeah. Always.
Same in Holland.
However, I don't think that culture is there in America.
It's not.
Exactly. And if you're going through the regular process, you're gonna be basically in school until you're 22, okay? And then you turn professional, and then you go to, you know, MLS or even go to a European team. All right, Pogba was the most expensive player in the world by the time he was 22. I think that really it's a sad reality, but more American players have got to just get out of the States. Pulisic would
I agree.
If he was playing in MLS, he would definitely be the best player in the league. And you don't get better by playing players that you're incredibly superior to. You get better by playing players to. And Pulisic came when he was, you know, pretty old too. I think he came when he was like 17 or 18 to Germany. But he's on the track to be America's best ever player. And I hope more players follow his lead until America sorts out the United States sorts out their soccer development and can actually start producing ballers from their own system. We got to just start.
I agree with that. I think also the MLS are not helping with the way it's structured.
Nah, MLS is show.
It's okay. Like football is completely different to the NBA, to the NFL, to the NHL. Even like the way you develop in football is just completely different. The promotion relegation debate that's going on in the USA right now. I don't understand why the MLS are not essentially just don't care about that. Like, and also, you need to get these kids in. You need to get people playing at 17, 18. They need to be playing in second division leagues, third division leagues. That's how USA will improve.
Exactly. It's a shame that Jordan Morris was homesick and stayed in USA because I think he could be tearing it up in a top European league. And we've just got to have more players like Pulisic who, you know, even though they're young, they take that step. They dare to dream and go to Europe.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, so yeah, that's just my take on it. Finally,
just to come back on that quickly, like, I remember there was a piece on the Breaking the Lies website about Carrasco, right? And the idea that he, on his maths exam, he put, screw you, I'm going professional.
Bro.
You won't get that in the States.
Really won't.
100% not.
In Belgium, you have the whole cult. If you're a young footballer, everyone around you is football. Every friend you have, all your family members, all your peers, or you know, everyone above you, everyone below you, they're all football involved. Whereas in the States, if you do that, you may have your coach and your teammates, but pretty much everyone else in life doesn't really care about the sport.
Also, I would just say that in other sports, it just is kind of soulless. Just with the NCAA, where players are kind of treated as slaves and not really players. And you're a world-class player, you should be getting money. You shouldn't be a slave to your team. You shouldn't be a slave to the...
Yeah, imagine someone like Pulisic right now in the NCAA.
Yeah, it's messed up. It's a disgrace. I think that, I mean, obviously, America is the best when it comes to NBA and NFL, so you got to stay there in the college. America is not the best when it comes to football or soccer, whatever you prefer. So I just think for that reason... even in addition to just like the kind of the slave treatment, Americans have got to take, talented American footballers have got to take Pulisic's lead and leave before they're kind of, I mean, look, normally a player will stay until they're 22. And like I said, Pogba, you know, he was playing games of like NCAA quality when he was like 16, all right? So that's how he got, because 6 years later, whether you like it or not, he broke the record for the highest on the transfer fee. And I mean, he'd obviously be better than any American player. So you've just got to go to and test yourself against the big boys, you know.
I agree. Any talented young American. Should leave America. Come to Europe. Develop yourself. Hone your skills. Show the MLS and US soccer. You know that. You guys need to switch up.
But doesn't that show a deep problem? Because if that's like the case at the moment, which like you know it's better for a player to develop in Europe. How long will that last? When will it be that players can safely stay in the States and develop themselves? Will it stay forever? Will it mean that the United States will never be able to really create a big generation?
Look, I can't even tell you the United States will exist 4 years from now. So, I mean, hopefully a working, functional soccer system will. Anyways, even if we don't, some weird US-Russia foundation, Pulisic will be the captain of that, all right? So he'll be the greatest Soviet / American player of all time, all right? Anyways, moving on to the other two games, we had Napoli-Madrid, pretty standard stuff, you know, Napoli, they play better, and then Sergio Ramos bails them out.
Madrid has just got too much experience for that Napoli team.
And I don't think they're going to win the Champions League, though, because I think it's pretty much an impossible feat, honestly.
It's tough for me. The tough position for me, personally, as a fan, is who should get Bayern? Should it be Real so that they don't shithouse their way to another final? Or should it be Barca because I really want to see you guys lose?
You might want to see us lose, but we're going to beat Bayern. I'll stand by that. I think that this new system, it brings a lot of new players' confidence. And also, I don't think Ancelotti is kind of a mastermind tactician. He's more like a great coach. I mean, he's better. But I think we'll beat it. I think we'd beat Bayern. I'm sorry.
Who could beat you then? Who could knock you out realistically?
It's funny because I swear, like, we have lost to Deportivo Alaves. We've lost to, you know, good, but not, like, fired. You know, I think any team could knock us out, but I also think that we could beat any team. So I think the the teams that I'd be most scared to play, Atletico, because it's just, we've just got, I mean, two years in 3 years where we've faced them in the quarters and we've lost. So there is that kind of fear factor. But I mean, we have a good record against Atletico outside Europe. We've got a very good record. So, I mean, if you know, we third time's the charm. So, bring them on. If UEFA want to give us Atletico, bring them on. All right,
bruv. UEFA's already given you enough, yeah.
Hang on. Look, Atletico is the worst possible team. Just I think because of the confidence factor, and they're so consistent. Even going through a bad spell at the moment, very bad spell. Come on, you can't deny their quality. They are the nastiest team to play against in Europe. Tomas can attest to that.
Interesting.
And so I think that, I mean, and we're familiar with them. We're not familiar with anybody more than we are with Atletico. So it would be an interesting proposition, but I would rather face any team, even Real or Bayern, than Atletico, honestly.
What have you got, Sevilla? Very interesting.
I'd take Sevilla. I mean, I think we pretty much always beat them. I don't want to, you know, eat my words, but I think we'd beat them. And also, they might not even qualify. I mean, Leicester, you know, who knows?
You think Leicester could do a madness?
One day they're like the worst team ever, and then when they play against an actual title challenger, they're like 2013 Bayern. So it's pretty insane. We've got a decent week coming up, I think, because City Monaco, that might not be over, and Leicester,
that's gonna be tough.
City Monaco is going to be amazing, man. Could go either way, honestly. Like, City are so unpredictable.
They are.
So are Monaco. Exactly. So
Monaco have three away goals, right? City may have a two-goal cushion, but Monaco have three away goals. And yeah. That's going to really hurt City.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on to the final topic. Bayern, Arsenal. So what do we think will happen with
Arsenal? Oh God, Arsenal, man. R.I.P. for all my Arsenal brothers out there.
Yeah, agree.
Honestly, you guys, it's tough right now, man. It's really tough to be an Arsenal fan. Honestly, I don't pity it. I pity Arsenal fans a lot right now. It's Arsenal are in huge trouble at the moment. If you look at the contract expirations of all of these players, they've got Oxlade, who's got like 16 months left, Lexis, Ozil. There's so many players that could go like in a year or two. I don't know how they've managed to actually bring it down to that. I don't know how they've not renewed contracts, but they're in big trouble at the moment.
Yeah. What about Wenger?
And I mean, back for saying it is, I think that at this point, I just think that, and it's sad to see, but I think Arsenal have progressively gotten worse in their play. I think 13-14 was great in terms of just, like, quality of play. 14-15 was, like, a little worse because Cazorla was so crucial. 15-16 was, this season is pretty ugly. And it's so inconsistent, too, because they can't. They aren't capable of beating any big sides at the moment. And I don't even know if they're going to make top four. And I think if...
Nah, they won't make top four. I mean, I believe that before, maybe. But no chance at all now. Like, that smacking against Bayern is just going to knock the stuffing out of them for the rest of the season.
Chance. Because, look, this, if there's one thing this Arsenal team knows how to do, it's get top four. And that's a blessing, but it's also a curse.
Yeah.
Because I think that you lose some of the edge, but if you get top four, it's fine. All right? You know, nothing changes. So maybe sixth. I mean, a lot of Arsenal fans want to do a Chelsea, go 10th, sack their manager, and start all of them, and then, you know, Canada League. I don't think they can do that. They don't have – they would need a massive, like – overhaul to get anywhere close to the mentality to the mentality Chelsea have right now.
They already need a massive overhaul.
They need a Conte. They need a Conte. They need someone who can change the mentality of the club.
Not better coach, but at the same time, Conte is just a given when it comes to winning the league. And also, I mean, Chelsea had even Chelsea squad. I mean, these
Arsenal squad is better than Chelsea squad this season, in my opinion.
Hazard was winning, was crucial in winning the league. So was Costa, and you know, it goes on. So they've got to have a massive overhaul of players who really know how to turn it on in the home stretch. And I think they need a new coach if they want to. Pains me to say that, but I think they need a new manager if they're going to challenge. But I do think, I think they'll make top four, honestly. I mean,
over who? You think, can you see? So my top four would be at the moment Chelsea, City, Spurs, and probably Liverpool or United over Arsenal.
It's honestly bizarre how Tottenham had one of the worst transfer windows ever, and now they're like in what, third, second? I mean, they can go for second again.
No, because they didn't need a good transfer window. They already had a good squad. It was, they had, it was they had something, one of the best something missing.
100%. Sissoko, Nakudu, Johnson. For me, that is average. I mean, Wanyama has been great. Okay, so I will give him that. Wanyama has been fantastic, but I still don't think it's like good enough to challenge in Europe, as we have seen.
If they want to challenge in Europe next season, they'll make top four, in my opinion. But if they want to challenge Europe in next season, they need additions in that squad, like two, three, four top players probably.
Defense, wingers, all that.
Yeah, they just need a lot of players, like players that will replace some of the players in their starting 11 right now, so that the overall quality of the squad improves.
They still have to rotate, because like it feels like whenever they don't play their main squad, they really screw up.
Yeah, they do.
I think they've got a strong starting XI. I just don't see the bench.
No depth.
There's no depth, yeah.
Not many options to bring on. Maybe Winks. I don't know.
What teams even have depth? Yeah.
Well, I mean, Chelsea can bring on not many, but they can still bring on Cesc and Willian and Ake. You know, those are good.
But like, when that's the best depth in the country, it shows you, it like reflects a bit.
Compare that to PSG, you can bring on Mota and Di Maria, and you know, pretty stark contrast, honestly.
That's really true, because like, give me any team in England that has good depth, and there's none. None of them have good depth.
Yeah, you know, even Chelsea don't. Like Chelsea, because we're not in Europe this season, it's absolutely fine. But next year we do need to sign at least 3-4 top players, so that you know the overall quality of the squad improves. I think, and I hope that the Premier League clubs just improve the general quality of their squads, especially the top teams.
Well, you're gonna go.
That's what's lacking in Europe, basically.
Well, you're gonna get Christensen, so
that's good. But Moses and Alonso aren't gonna get you a far in the Champions League.
No. We need to upgrade Moses. We need to upgrade Alonso. We need to upgrade on Pedro, even though he's been amazing. He's turning 31 next year, I think.
Yeah, but he's been doing it for quite a while.
Yeah, but Pedro should be a squad player, if you get me. If you want to be top European team, Pedro should be a squad player. He's a great player, don't get me wrong, but he should be a squad player. Like, we should have someone over his quality.
Barcelona, in the final season, but he was starting pretty much most seasons.
Of course, like, you need guys like Pedro in your team to push the other players, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, that makes it like healthy competition. There is healthy competition in Chelsea.
Yeah.
Also, I think we need to upgrade on Fabregas or Matic. Just someone better to partner Matic. Kante.
Yeah, Matic.
Yeah, I'm not sure who yet. Maybe
Keita.
Yeah, I would love Naby Keita. I would love Tolisso from Lyon as well.
Now, everyone's overrating Tolisso. I have to get in the list because everyone since overrated Tolisso. Yeah. But send him to any league that is, I mean, already in France, he is the league's victim. seriously, every league has someone who's at the butt of every joke. And like in England, it's Phil Jones or something like that most of the time. And you know, it's usually a bad player, but in France, it's Tolisso. And it means he has zero respect on the pitch. I mean, man gets fouled like no problem, and he gets disrespected, and it has a massive effect on his mentality. I mean, imagine if he goes to somewhere like Juventus, or if he goes somewhere in England, he's going to have to step up in games, you know, in tough, rainy nights against teams like West Brom. Or in Italy, he's going to have to step up, you know, in the midfield that has the likes of Pjanic and Marchisio.
And it's just a lot more tactical.
Mentality go up.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think that, finally, I think Chelsea, it's interesting because even in their 14-15 season where they were so effective, they really couldn't cut it in Europe. And we've got players who are proven at the international level, but like Conte, he's a player, very interesting, who's been pretty flawless for the past two seasons, but he couldn't cut it in Europe. He couldn't cut it in the Euros, whereas Hazard was great in the Euros, but he can't really seem to cut it in the Champions League.
Hazard had a good Euros, but I wouldn't say he was great.
Score was bad, but that's mainly Bournemouth's fault.
Yeah, I would probably say Hazard was Belgium's best, but I mean,
he was 100%, but
easily, yeah.
Like his performance against Hungary was one of the performances of the tournament, you know, but like the level between that performance and the rest of his performances it's not really the same. So,
leave the summer, because just last night there were plenty of rumors circulating in the press that he would leave to Madrid.
Nah, it won't happen. Today, there's also rumors that he's going to sign a new contract. So, you know, like you shouldn't really read into these things.
Also, Hazard is 26 already. So,
26.
If
he's going to move, it should be now, though. But
yeah, that's true.
You know,
I feel he needs one more season in Europe to really, you know, be able to prove himself. Because how many seasons has he played first team in Champions League? About one or two.
I think two or three.
Nah.
Bayern would love
two,
to bring
probably him. Two.
Yeah. Like at most, just 14-15, he was also injured at some point, yeah?
Yeah.
Bayern, Juventus, they would love to bring in a player like Hazard.
What is it with Juventus and Bayern players? I don't see why.
What do you mean?
Well, their squad depth is unreal. Why do they keep buying players?
Yeah, they've got an insane team, if you look at it. It's the same with Bayern. Just Bayern and Juve are just...
Yeah, but Bayern can make a few squad depth changes. Juve have ridiculous squad depth in every single position.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, bar none.
Yeah. Look, I'm just going to say Hazard is world-class. He's nowhere near Neymar, but I think Bayern or Juventus would love to have him. But he's still got to step it up in Europe if he wants to be known as an alternative.
Next season is his time to shine. He has to, you know, grab the competition by its balls, basically, and show everyone that, you know, I got the talent to at least be in a discussion with someone like Neymar, because right now he isn't, unfortunately. Yeah.
I mean, and I don't think he'll ever be personally, but look, I think Hazard wants to retire as one of the greatest Premier League players of all time and the greatest Chelsea player of all time. And I think he can do that. I mean, because look.
There's a way to go.
Oh, no,
he has
I know.
A long way to go, man. Like, he look, needs look, to do the sort of performances that Drogba, Lampard did regularly in big games, you know?
Right, exactly. But I'm just saying, inside the Premier League, he has a chance to become one of the best in the Premier League. Okay,
he 100%. He's already on his way to that. Like, if he stays at Chelsea but for the rest of his career, he'd go down as a Premier League legend, like without a question.
Torres, we're putting in performances much younger than Hazard is right now in Europe that were much better than anything he's done so far. So he has to step it up in Europe. But at the same time, I think Bayern and Juve. Even RM would look the other way and be like, you know what, you haven't done well, but you can massively improve our side. and we'll sign you.
Yeah, but 100%.
I think he personally wants to stay.
Yeah, looks like it. I mean, I'm delighted that he is staying. He's, like you said, a world-class player. But I just wish he kept up with Neymar, really. Maybe that's why I sound a bit sour to some of you guys, but...
I think you could argue it was probably the same. Maybe Hazard was even better back in 13, 14. But
yeah,
now,
Like 2014, maybe 2015.
Yeah.
Around that time, they were same level, similar level. One was maybe slightly better.
Hazard's 2015 season was what put him up there with Neymar.
Yeah, yeah. After that, it just, Neymar just went. Like, and he had that disgusting 15, 16 season where it just disappeared. Lots of injuries, lots of problems at the club.
Hazard was worse.
And he doesn't have many excuses because, I mean, come on, Conte is a better manager than Enrique.
Yeah.
Look, I still think he's, arguably the best in the league.
I genuinely hope that Chelsea sign some quality players next year because one of the arguments for Hazard not performing is the fact that he doesn't have, like, the players Neymar has next to him. He doesn't have, like, a Messi or Suarez with him or an Iniesta with him, really. So hopefully Chelsea make big signings to complement players such as Hazard. Maybe we will see him elevate to that next level. But it's all ifs and buts right now.
Neymar is younger, but look, I mean, Hazard has had a great career, but he hasn't had an all-time great career yet.
So, yeah, 100%.
You got anything else to say?
Nah, not really. I think we're all good, you know?
Yeah, I think we're good, too. All right, well, it's been a great first podcast in my native tongue. Look forward to that. And
can we do it in Dutch next time?
You're in charge of that, mate.
Yeah. I'm not a Dutchman. I'll just try to learn it before our first one.
All right, cool.
All right. Well, great first podcast in English. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. And we'll have another one in Spanish next week and another one in English. Sorry. So, thank you so much. All right, it's been great.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, and thanks both of you for coming with. It was really good.
Thank you very much, guys. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate it.
Look forward to the next.